Man, it's been a while. Sorry, everybody, and sorry for the sound quality if this sounds like crap, but my phone is like on 2% and I have to record without my usual mic. So today I just wanted to talk to all of you about Japan's biggest comedy tournament that I was just in, called M1 Grand Prix. And this is the second year me and my Monsai partner have done it, and the third year in total that I've done it. Before, previously, I did it with an English bloke. I love English terms. English bloke named Jonathan. And it was a two foreigner, two of us. Jesus, I'm even calling ourselves foreigners nowadays. Two of us, an English guy and a Canadian guy, doing Mansai, Japanese stand-up. But because of schedules and other stuff, he lives in Saitama, I live in Tokyo. I ended up getting my Japanese partner that I have now, which is another story for another podcast. But yeah, so me and him did it last year. And well, let me give you a run about it. So M1 Grand Prix is about 15 years old, I think. Created by some of the top Japanese gainin or comedians here in Japan. And it's known as like the biggest manzai Japanese comedy. So get that again so I can use the Japanese term. Manzai is Japanese stand-up comedy. But unlike the West, it is two people doing it and playing catchball with dialogue rather than one person. And one person is the silly person and one person is the... They call it straight man when they translate it into English, but I hate that term. So it's like the goofball and the hard ass. That's what it should be called. So bokeh is the term for the stupid guy, and tsukomi is the word for the hard ass. And yeah, I'm bokeh because I'm dumb as fuck. No, I'm just joking. I'm from UBC, man. I'm fucking supposed to be smart. Anyways, going back to the story. So yeah, this was my third time doing it. And with my Monsai partner. And we made it to the third stage, which basically had all these freaking amateur comedians that were already on TV. And here we are, not doing it for as many years as they are. And yeah, we didn't make it to the next stage, which sucks, but c'est la vie, right? And yeah, basically, this comedy tournament has about, oh man, I don't even know. Over 5,000, we call them combinations, but 5,000 teams, let's say, joining this tournament almost every year. So 5,000 teams, meaning 10,000 plus people. And when you get to the second stage, which we did, half of that is about cut. And then when you get to the third stage, one or two thirds of that stage is cut. So basically, it started with 10,000 people, and now they're on the third stage. So they're probably down to about 500 people. And from that, they'll probably cut 400 people. And then there's one more stage, and they'll probably cut all but three people, I'm guessing. So yeah, it's basically five stages. And then once you get to the sixth stage, you're on TV and you're famous, basically. And here's where it gets crazy. So the already super famous Japanese comedians are automatically into the sixth stage. Basically, they say that they do the tournament one time and then they don't have to do it again once they reach that final stage. And then I think you have 10 years as a, I keep wanting to say the Japanese kombi, as a team to make it. And if you don't make it in that 10 years, then you're done, basically. You can never be on TV again, kind of thing. Very strict. But what's with this tournament is there's so many sketchy things, too. So, for example, one thing is that if you win, you get, I think, $10,000. But the thing is, the company is Yoshimoto, one of the biggest Japanese comedy companies in all of Japanese history. It's the most famous comedians are from there. So they run this tournament. And lo and behold, 9 out of 10 tournaments, so the majority of the tournaments, have all been won by Yoshimoto. And here's where it gets even crazier. So if you belong to the agency known as Yoshimoto, the company takes 90% of your pay. So that $10,000 that team just won, that's from Yoshimoto, Yoshimoto will take 90% of that back, leaving with them with 10%. So what's that, $1,000? Yay! So it's no wonder that the other companies that take less than 90% end up not winning. One sec, I'm gonna get some water. Okay. So where was I? I forget so easily. But then again, this was a cut, so you weren't here for the past 5 minutes. So yeah, going back, the tournament's kind of sketchy, but as a comedian doing this, it was pretty fun. So not only did I get to meet all these famous comedians that were on TV and talk to them, even though everyone was nervous as hell, I got to go to these big, well, halls and stuff. Like, they're literally like concert theaters where you get to perform in. And for the second stage of the M1 tournament, we had over a couple hundred people, I think, which was wow, yeah. To me, it was like, wow, I made it. Even though, as a comedian right now, I'm the same boat as every other Japanese comedian, which is you need that one shot to get your feet off the ground, and we're still firmly planted in the soil. But in the world of being a talent, as they say in Japan, which is, I don't know how to say in English, basically someone that's on TV. A personality, TV personality, they say. As a TV personality, I'm bigger than I am as a comedian in Japan. And what I mean by that is I've been on TV shows, commercials, movies, dramas. People recognize my face, but they don't recognize me for the comedian that I work my ass off for more than anything. But when it comes to foreigners, as being comedians in Japan, we have it easier than Japanese because of numbers and, well, foreigners that can speak Japanese and understand Japanese comedy. But there's only five foreign comedians, I would say, in Japan. And there's me, who started from the bottom, starting up like a Japanese comedian, and another guy that's similar, my buddy Nick. And then there's just some guys that had lucky breaks or wanted to pay money and try to be a comedian and did it. But in Japan, if you're not funny, or you only got one joke and you played it out, you soon disappear, no matter who you are. When it comes to Japanese comedy, it's really about being able to talk. And what I mean by that is not only just being funny, but you also have to keep the conversation constantly going. For example, Conan O'Brien or Jay Leno or any of the talk show hosts are very similar to what a Japanese comedy, a comedian has to do. In whenever the camera's on or whenever he's on stage. So like if you watch Conan O'Brien, I mean, that guy is like a motorboat with his mouth, man. That guy does not shut up. But the reason why he doesn't shut up is, well, I'm sure he has more room now, but when he first started, man, like, oh, I was like, let your guest talk or do this. But the pressure of having to keep a conversation and having to keep it interesting as well. Well, another person you're talking to may not be interesting is so freaking hard. And an example of that recently was after we do our bit or our stand-up, we have a talk at the end of almost every show. And sometimes on the talks, even if the comedian is very funny with his bit, that he did, or his stand-up that he did. When he talks normally, he's boring as hell, or he just doesn't know how to be funny. So on one of the last talks, I noticed this guy, and he was just kind of like, yeah, so everyone, I like going out for pizza, and, you know, like, just boring as hell. And you could hear the audience isn't laughing anymore. They don't know what the hell is happening. So I came in and I said a joke and everyone laughed. And after the show, he came up to me and he thanked me. He was like, oh, thank you, man. That was so hard. And it's like, yeah, he got scolded from our seniors. Like, what the hell were you doing? Don't talk unless you have something funny to say. Hey, I even been scolded for that too. For something really stupid too. Sorry, I go off on a tangent here. So a Japanese comedian said something like, what's it like in Canada? And I said something like straightforward. And he goes, no, no, no. After the show, he was like, I gave you the ball. Like, you were supposed to say something funny. I was like, how the hell am I supposed to know? I mean, you want me to make fun of my country? Like, I gave you a straight answer to a straight question. But in Japanese comedy, that's how it is. And I've had that on TV too, where I said something stupid and they're like, say it again, but instead I made a different joke. And they're like, well, you just ran away from the topic and you can't do that. And basically, we call that like a sense, like a comedy sense that you have to get. And the example I gave you is like a rule. So you can learn a rule, but an overall sense, I believe people can learn that, but I also believe that they can't. And that's a really weird way to explain it. But how I would explain that is, for example, Jim Carrey, one of my idols. So when he first did stand-up, he bombed. A lot of people bomb on their first time of stand-up. But then he tried again, and he got better. But I don't think that is not being funny. I think that was just, you got to try a lot of times to get better at something, of course, but you still, in your learning process, you either get it or you don't. You know what I mean? Like, you try and then you get it, or you try and you don't. And that sense is, I think you always had it, but you have to discover it. I'm kind of losing myself here too. I hope you understand what I mean. But like, especially in Japan. So in America or Canada or wherever, if you do stand up and you suck, you're going to get booed off stage. If you have the balls to go up and do it again and you get booed off stage again, it sucks. But if you do that again and again and again and you get better, like most people will, and you stay in the game, then you always had a sense, I think. But if you do it and bomb and you bomb and you bomb and you bomb and you're like, okay, screw it, I suck, you've never had it. And you realize that you just can't do it. Is how I feel in life with these kinds of things. And with comedy, I feel that I have a Japanese comedy sense as well as a Western comedy sense, but I'm still not where I want to be in Japanese comedy. And when I did English stand-up my first time, I wouldn't say I bombed. I had a lot of people laughing, but it wasn't constant laughter. And actually, I also acapella'd it. I didn't even write a script for myself for any higher lows. I just talked, which, like Chris Rock and other famous Western comedians even said that they have their bits that they write down and then they ad-lib or they improv around that. So somehow I made it through. But my second time after writing bits, yeah, I'd say I bombed. But I'm still going to do it again because it's fun. But the audience here in Japan kind of sucks. That's why I don't do English stand-up that much here. I think this is just going to be a short podcast today because there's still about 20 of you out there listening to this. And I want to make it more regular. But I got to study still and I got to write my stuff down. But I hope you enjoyed this talk about Japan's biggest comedy tournament. And I have lots more stories like that coming at you. On this app Anchor here, if you're using this as well, you can send me an audio voice message. So if you have any comments about what you listen to or you have any thoughts, please send them my way. Or if you have any topics that you want me to talk about or explain to you, please also send me that way. Because unlike a lot of people in Japan, I got some crazy stories, if you couldn't tell by some of the last podcasts here. But anyways, yeah, this is going to be more regular coming up, so enjoy it, Sterling. Your story is going to come up next. Okay, love you, everybody. Peace out.